Well, we have another opportunity to hear the Word of God from my brother this night. I'm always thankful when he has an opportunity to go with me and to be able to travel. I always enjoy being able to visit with him and his sincerity and energy towards the gospel. So if you would please give your kindly attention to our brother tonight as he speaks to us, our brother Jose Galvan.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I thank you all for being here, taking time and to come and hear the beautiful word of God. Just like the song that we just finished right now, that's the what we're here for, to hear those wonderful words of God. Because the scripture says that every word that comes from the books is a living word, and it's God's word. It's not my or anybody else. It's God's word, and that's what we're here for. And I appreciate it that you make time to be here. And I want to thanks to those who are watching over the live streaming. I hope that tonight this message will be a blessing to you. Today is a holiday, right? It's Memorial Day. It's a Memorial Day. I am happy to be here. Where I work, they can make me work anytime, any day they want. But I was able to speak to my captains, to my boss, and let them know, you know, that I would like to have Sundays off for this reason. And I know and I believe that God did touch their hearts, and all this time, because today is Memorial Day. I work for a resort, and it's 100% occupied. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They couldn't make me work today. They could. And I didn't even say anything. Don't put me in the schedule because I'm preaching tonight. But I understand that God has a lot to do with our daily life. And if when you request it, whatever you request in his name, coming to him in prayer, he hears you as he hear me and as he hear a lot of us who are going to struggles, problems, and all that stuff. I just want to give him the glory today, and I appreciate it, and I'm happy to be here with you guys. So I ask that you, if you have your scriptures, to have them open with me, because like I said, and maybe I said it every sermon, follow me, that you may understand what I'm reading or where I'm going. And that really, really helps me a lot. I'm going to read in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start my sermon. As we were sitting for song service, there was a couple of songs that we sing that remind me something just right there, and how thankful I am to this country that has given into me so much that I am very happy and very blessed for all the blessings that I have received, and I thanks for this to this country for receiving me. And you know, I always say, we all have problems. We all go through something, especially foreigners like me. I wasn't born here, but I come to the understanding that this country, it has so much to offer, but if you don't know how to choose to make wise choices, you can get yourself in big trouble. And as big as this country is, if you don't behave yourself, they get you. I have experienced, not experienced myself, but I have seen it through my people. They, like I said, this country has so much to offer you, but you have to make really wise choices. And if you make the right choices, you can get pretty far. Before I come to Christ, I was in the world. I was making not a really good choices. But even that, God keep me in his care and to now that I am here with you guys, and how grateful I am. How grateful I am. And so tonight, you know, being today Memorial Day, I'm going to read a little bit of what soldiers they go through, our governor. Many, they give their lives for this country. They have lost their life for this country. And my opportunity that I have, now I'm 47, not that you need to know, I'm 47 years old. But I apply, I believe, either two times or three times to go to meet, to enjoy the army. Because I want to be part of this country, and I want to do something. But, well, they never choose me. And the last time that I offered to I can't remember what war was it, they sent me a letter, and they told me to keep that letter with me. And they told me they were thankful for me to offer to do, you know, to make it, to decide to do something like that. That I want to help this country. And so I understand what today means. We have a lot of people here. They have served this country. Many are gone and many they're still here. So I would say, and I will told you right now to thank you so much for what you have done. We're going to read in the Book of Mormon and the first book of Nephi, just real quick here. Chapter 3. We're going to read from chapter 3 from 152 all the way to 163. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the Gentiles which had gone forth out of captivity. They humbled themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. And beheld the power of God was with them. And also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. But before that, it talks about in 147, I'm going to read 147 and 148. And I look and behold a man among the Gentiles, which was separated from the sea of my brethren by the many waters, and I beheld the Spirit of God, that it came down and brought upon the men, and he went upon the many waters, even into the sea of my brethren, which were in the promised land. I believe that right here, and actually, and if you look in the bottom of your page, it says it's talking about Cristobal Colon. And so as we were singing those songs, it reminded me that even You know, we are not from this country. If you, like I said, if you behave, God is always with you. Even from the beginning, God was watching over these pilgrims. They traveled to many waters looking for freedom, peace, to looking for peace and freedom from all the troubles they were going to. They felt that they needed to leave their country and come to this land, which is the promised land that God has promised to the seed of Joseph. And in this book, I want to say right now, that when I first started coming to this church, Brother Don always took the time to show me these things, and to understand where we are coming from. I'm going to continue on 155. And I, Nephi, beheld the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they prosper in the land, and beheld a book, and it was carrier four among them. And the angel saying to me, knowest thou the mean of this book? And I say, I know not. And he say, behold, it proceeds out of the mouth of the Jew, and I, Nephi, beheld it. It's talking about the Bible. And saying to me, the book which thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which is contains the covenants of the Lord which he hath made into the house of Israel, and also contains the many of the prophecies and the holy prophets. And it is a record like in the engraving which are upon the plates of brass, which is the five books of Moses. Save there are not so many, nevertheless, there contain the covenants of the Lord which he hath made into the house of Israel. This scripture right here, it reminds us that from the beginning we have had these promises of God, that he's always by his hand. We go from one place to another, like he brought these Gentiles there, because then they brought these books. And how a blessing is that to us? Many people did not know any of this. This is like a hiding the scriptures to many people, and we have the responsibility to show them. This is how it is. But the Book of Mormon, Brother Dan told me one time, and I don't forget those words, you know, that when you present the book, you're not proving it. You're just presenting it to them. Just like it says in the last pages of Moroni, to ask God with sincerity, with all your heart, to make you, to help you understand if this is true. And I can tell you that it's true, because we are remembered our prophets that were killed. We are remembered those who've been persecuted. We are remembered, like I said, the people that give their lives for this country. This is what today is about. And I'm going to read a comment here. As we celebrate those who give their lives for this country, let us also remember those who were martyred for the faith of Jesus Christ. The cross is a stumbling block for many and are still into today. Simple for your belief, simple for the love of Jesus. We need to remember those that are under persecution, families of our precious brothers and sisters. who are remain faithful and to the end. This morning, as I was sitting, listening to my brother giving his sermon, he used a lot of my scriptures. And that tells me how the Spirit of the Lord works in us. I did not call him to say, hey, don't use those scriptures, I'm going to use them for my sermon. But he used so many, and so many of his comments were so familiar to my comments. And what is that to you? What is that to me? That the Spirit of the Lord is between us, is here. And that's how he works. He works in many ways because Christ told us, you will not be alone. You will have a helper who will show you the things you should do, who will show you where to go, where not to go, who will show you the things what to say, and not to be afraid, because I am with you and I will put the words in your mouth. And how true that is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says, but we preach Christ crucified. That is our duty. That is what we've been called, to preach Christ. To preach Christ, to preach forgiveness, to preach faith, to preach salvation, to preach resurrection, and all those things that many of our brothers and sisters do not know today. And to the Jews, it's a stumbling block, as we know what happened. But unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. And to us, he's our Lord and Savior who died for your sins and mine. Even being in a sinful life, he did that. And so perhaps a lot of our scriptures, you might think, I heard that before. But it's not that we repeat ourselves. We remind ourselves. Last Sunday, we had two services that were so good. If you remember, Brother Steve Campbell, Priest Steve Campbell, remind us of the restoration of the church, which I have forgot. In my 15 years that I've been here, I have forgot. And he remind me and how thankful I was. How did we get here? How did the restoration of the gospel happen? There's so much to talk about that. It can take, who knows, days, years. But we need to be remembered of that. So if you hear a scripture that's been preaching maybe this morning already, it's because we need to hear it. It's because we need to hear it. We are soldiers. We are soldiers of Christ. Let's not forget. We have to be endure. We have to stay in great faith. That nothing will bring us down. We need to be strong. I was listening to a sermon from my brother Jay yesterday. And he started with the words that really touched my heart. That he said he is so thankful for God calling him. And he called him to do one thing, to preach his gospel. Sitting in the bench, it's easy to me to write down notes as we hear whoever the preacher is up here. But as you're standing behind the pulpit, it's a different story. But even that, we cannot let anything bring us down. Like I said, we are soldiers. And we can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to endure those things that surround us always, every day. There's so many things that they can bring you down. But we are standing in a solid foundation, which is the rock, the corner rock of Jesus Christ. And nothing can bring us down. Nothing can bring us down. And I have to confess that sometimes, because the work of every day and those things that we all, that we need to do, that we feel, that we think that we need to get it done, we need to do, I confess that sometimes I don't touch my scriptures and I feel bad. Brother Gordon reminded us this morning, we need to feast on the Word of God. And if we don't read, what I'm saying right now is useless. What I'm saying right now, you will not understand. Pray for me and I pray for you. We need to pray for each other. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let us not be afraid. We have the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that peace in our hearts. As I was sitting in the bench right now, before I come to the chair, my heart was, going 100 miles an hour. But I pray like I always do before I stand before you. And God always guides me and comforts me. He said he give us peace. It says also that when you visit families, when you're preaching some in other countries, when you have missions, you walk into somebody's house, you say, peace be with you. If they receive you, you leave peace in the house. If they don't receive you, shake up the dust of your shoes. That's how it is. We have to have that faith. We have to be strong. Like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch ye and stand fast in faith, and quit you like men. Be strong. Be strong like a man. That's what it says here. We have to be strong, like a soldier of Christ. If I didn't got to go and be a soldier of this country, I am a soldier, even now, of somebody more stronger. There's always time for anything. There's always time. In Ecclesiastes 3:18, 3:1-8, I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8, let's read Ecclesiastes 3, I forgot what Ecclesiastes is. It says, Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, sorry. It says, to everything, for everything, there is a season and in time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, and a time to plant and a time to pluck. Pluck up that which is planted. It's always a time to kill and a time to heal, and a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's always time to mourn, and we have to mourn to those who are suffering, those who have been persecuted. Like I said when I started, we have to be in their pain. We have to enjoy, we have to share those things. When you go into something and you need prayers, and sometimes we like, because our pride, they're not letting me ask you, pray for me, because our pride. But the scriptures teach us that we need to stand for each other. If somebody's mourning, we have to mourn with them. We have to comfort those who are mourning and those around you. In Alma, chapter 8. Alma chapter 8, 219 to 222. It says, ye humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, over your flocks. Cry unto him in your house, yea, over all your household. Both morning, midday, and evening, crying to him against the power of your enemies. Ye cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closet, in your secret places, and in your world and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drown out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. You mourn, you help those who are around you, and those who are suffering, you help them. That's what we've been called. We have responsibilities. We are servers. Brother Andy always reminds us that we are a service. We have to serve. If you read this chapter Alma 8, a couple verses back, it's about the people who been kicked out of the synagogues for the way that they're dressing, for the way that they look. So they've been kicked out because they don't fit in. They don't have rich clothes. They don't look clean. We are about to come to those days. But the Book of Mormon teaches that you should not tell them to go because the way they look. You accept them and you pray for them. Because the Church of Christ is to all those who are hungry for the truth, for the gospel. We cannot rebuke them. We should be ready to receive them, no matter what they look like. No matter what they look like. And it says right there, Adam is telling them, don't worry about you being not having a church where to pray. Brother Brian, he puts pictures of when he's in those countries where there's really hard to build a building. They read the word, they gather together under a tree. Feels, you don't need to have a building, like it says right here. Cry into the Lord. Let your hearts be full. Don't worry. Don't let this bring you down that you don't have a building to go worship. You can worship from anywhere and anywhere. Because we are living in a world that is full of sin. And if we walk away from the truth, we will fall back to the sinful life that we had from the beginning. If we don't feast in the Word of God, we will fall back. And that will be good. We're going to read in Matthew. Matthew 12, verse 31 to 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin is blasphemy. Shall be forgive unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgotten to men. And whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgive him. But whosoever speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgive him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That is a reminder that when you accept to follow Christ and you walk into the waters of baptism, it's like you signing a paper. You're making an agreement with Christ that you're going to be his follower, you're going to be his soldier, you're going to be his disciple. And once you have accepted and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you cannot go back again. You cannot go back to your sinful life, because you will be like a dog that goes back to his own puke. It sounds gross, but that's how it is. And that's what they told us. Once you get to know our Lord and Savior, it is no way back. And I don't see anything wrong with that. In Mark 3, chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. Mark chapter 3, 28 and 29. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the Son of Man, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost never forgives, but is in danger of eternal condemnation. Also, that's in the Book of Mormon, teaches us that who teaches not to pray, who is behind all this, that perhaps someday he might trick you in a very good way, that you may walk away from what you have learned and for what you have promised. Brother Gordon, read the rich man that came to Christ this morning, and I didn't even get to it, and that has something to do with what I'm reading right now. But I want to go to Luke 12, 8, 10. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. And also I say unto you, that whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that deny me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But in him the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. So it's telling us right here clearly. Once we know, once we start walking and carrying our cross every day, we have to stick up for our beliefs. We have to stand up for what we know. Even that it's really hard, especially in work, in your workplace, with your friends, your coworkers, that they're always using this manner of speaking that you don't really like, you don't really talk like that. But in laughings and jokes, they can trick you. And we know that who is working behind it. We have to be careful. We have to stand for what we know. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. For it's impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again and to repentance, saying they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. Have we have tasted the heavenly gift? I told you, I have tasted. When I first walked into the waters of baptism, I come out with such much joy. So much joy that I wanted to scream it to the world. And I pretty much, I can say that I told you guys this again, but this is my testimony. That I wanted to my family to know about this Jesus who saves and who promised you that you'll be with him. I went and buy a lot of Bibles, and I got Book of Mormon, and I gave it to my whole family. But the results, they were not too good. Except one, and that's Esmeralda. Esmeralda, my niece. And I'm really happy for that. Because she was able, that God touched her heart, show her those things that she needed to change her life. We have to stay away from things that don't please God. We have to try to be sincerely Christian. That our fruits, our works will please him. And we're going to go to Alma. Alma, the 19. Read 7 to 8. I know you now, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Yet most abominable above all sins, save it be the shedding of innocent blood or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if you deny the Holy Ghost when it once had her place in you, and you know that you deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. Where am I going with this? We know, and there's been so many, they have walked away from the church. And they have had the gift, the heavenly gift, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they have walked away from the church. And they have known all this goodness from the Lord. And how can they walk away and forget the promises, the promise that they make to follow him when they got baptized? I know many of our young ones right now, they haven't made that decision yet, but I ask, don't wait. Because the time is going fast. And we're going to read in Chapter 1, verse 79 to 87. And it says, and now I say unto you, my brethren, I didn't change my page. 84. Which thou caused him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and do fill his breast with guilt and pain, an anguish which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascending up forever and ever. That's something you don't want. Once you have know there is a heaven and there's a hell, why would you want to choose going back to that place? And you want experience or something? I don't know. That's a place that I don't want to be. And now I say unto you that the mercy had no claim on that man. Therefore, his final doom is to endure a never-ending torment. All ye old men, and also young men, and little children, it's all for you. It's all for us. It's never too late to make that decision. Which can understand my words, for I have spoken plainly unto you, that you may understand. And I pray that you shall awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. The opportunity is right now. The day is right now to make that decision to follow Christ. And once you follow it, don't do like what I just read. After you have experienced the love of God and after you have agreed to follow him and to pick up your cross every day and walk away, I don't recommend that. I don't, and I feel it for you, and I feel it for those that have walked away. There's been a few. And 3 Nephi, chapter 3, 18 to 20. 3 Nephi, chapter 3, 18 to 20. It says, and thus Satan did lead away the hearts of the people to do all manner of iniquity. Therefore, they had no enjoy peace but a few years. And thus, in the commencement of the 13th year, that the people having been delivered out from the space of a long time to be carried about by the temptations of the devil, whatsoever he desired to carry them, and to do whatsoever iniquity he desired, they should. And thus, in the commencement of this, the 30 year, they were in a state of awful wickedness. Now they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew that the will of God concerned them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore, they did willfully rebel against God. Rebellious. Those are the people they know that what they're doing is wrong, but they're still doing so. They've been rebels to the commandments of God. And we are here tonight. I'm here tonight to remind you to pray for that, and to pray for those that are going through that, and for us to stay firm, to stay firm. Moroni, chapter 8:32-34. Pray for them, my son, that repentance may come into them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit has ceased striving with them. And in this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which come from God. And they are denying the Holy Ghost. And after rejecting the grain, acknowledge, my son, they must perish soon. And to the fulfilling of the prophecies which were spoken by the prophets, as well as the word of our Savior himself. We had to pray for those who are falling down, whose spirit is squinching for whatever reason. I remember some words that one of my brothers said. When you see people here in the front bench, and they're so joy, they're so up in everything, they know everything the church do, those events, and it's just like the seed, like the parable of the seed. You see them here, and it's lonely, the moving benches. And when you know, they're way over there leaning by the wall. We need to pray for them, that those things won't come and have part in their lives. Because the temptations of the world is always around us. There's always around us. We're going to read in 1 Nephi again, chapter 3, 125. And it says, in the midst of the darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blind the eyes and hard the hearts of the children of men, and lead them away into broad rods, that they may perish and get lost. That is where the Lehi is having a vision, and he can see all those things that are about to come. God is telling him the things that we need to be aware. We have to be aware of those things. Temptations. You know, I'm always bringing money in my sermons, maybe. But money is one of the things that we focus too much. And it's nothing wrong to be wealthy. It's nothing wrong to be wealthy. But we cannot let those things separate us from God. And like I said, Brother Gordon, use some of my scriptures this morning, and this is one of them. The rich man who came to Christ. And I'm going to read it in Mark 10. Mark 10. I'm going to start with 17 to 23. It says, And when he was gone far into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what should I do that I may inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said to him, Master, all this I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus beheld him and loved him. Jesus beheld him. He looked at him. This young man, perhaps he was 33 years old too, just like our Lord. But this man, 33 years old, was rich. He was a ruler. And from what I heard, he was part of the Sanhedrin group. He was a ruler. He was very rich, very wealthy. And Christ knew. He looked at him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. That's pretty hard, isn't it? I don't know what I would do myself. Maybe I will do the same what this rich man there. We walk away and not do anything about what Christ has taught him. Because it's not easy to be to whatever point you want in your life. You work for it. How can I going to sell my stuff that I work hard for it? But perhaps that's not what Christ meant. This is scripture in the same book, in Matthew. I can't remember what chapter, but it says, you cannot have two lords. You cannot have two gods. You cannot worship money. You cannot worship God. You have to decide. You have to choose. And Christ put this young man in that position because he can see it. And that's why he said, we continue on 22, and says, and he was sad at that saying and went away, grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and saying to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He was rich, but he was poor inside. He was a poor man. And that's why we say we are rich. I'm driving a 1995 truck, but I don't care. I'm rich because I belong to someone higher than anyone. I don't need to be rich in materialism. And Christ was a perfect example to us when he was gone to the desert and being tempted by the devil. He didn't fall for it. If you do this, I give you all this and all that. But he did not fall for it. He's teaching us not to trust in those things of this world. If he were to accept it, I give you all the kingdoms, he would be like a star, like a Hollywood star. Everybody would know him. But that was not the plan. We need to hear the word of these books. And just like the first song, the second song we sing, Wonderful Words of Life. We need to hear these words every day, every weekend, every Wednesday. In your house, open your Bible, your Book of Mormon, and read them. Because after this, you go home and you forget about these books and just put them up in the shelf, that isn't worth anything. You have forgot already what was the service about. We need to hear the words of this book because they are words of life. In 2 Nephi, chapter 11, 155. It says, and in that day shall the deaf, hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see in obscurity of the darkness. We will hear the words of this book. And I believe that it means these books. We need to hear these words. Like today, we are all here gathered together, and it's because God has touched your heart to be here. And like it says right there, he can look right into you. But we're not perfect. We're not perfect. And he knows that. But he has so much mercy. He has so much mercy for you and I. That he will forgive our sins that we commit every day. Because we are sinners, that's for sure. We are sinners. We are worthy to be his disciples. We are worthy to call sons of the Most High. We need to humble ourselves and ask God to forgive us. In Alma, Alma 16. Alma 16, 229 to 232, I'm sorry, 230. We're going to read two verses there. And it says, and I'm sorry, it is 229, we're going to jump. And now, as I say unto you before, as you have had so many witness, therefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate, that the day of your repentance is coming to an end, and to the end. When we gather together by the pool and see our brothers going into the water, there's a lot of witnesses there that you cannot ignore. When you doing things, when you walk away from the church, think about those witnesses that were around you. And we all witness that promise that you make. But today is the day to come to Him. Don't procrastinate. As Brother Huber says in his sermons, don't procrastinate that day, because it's coming fast. 232. May you cannot say this, for the same spirit which that possesses your body at the time that you go out of this life, the same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even into death, behold, you have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he do seal you his. Think about that for a minute. You don't want to be an eternal and painful area, place, whatever. When we have the opportunity, as long as we have air in our lungs, we can come to Christ and ask Him to take over our lives. Don't procrastinate, young people. Because the day of your repentance is coming soon. And this is to remind us who we are and who we belong to and who we serve. My last scripture is in Colossians 1:10. Chapter 1, verse 10. And it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work, and an increase in the acknowledge of God. And that's what we've been called for, to walk worthy, to walk in righteousness ways, and not to be in places where people will judge you. Walk worthy, and that will please the Lord. I pray that this message was a blessing to you this night, and I thank you for being here, and I thank you for support, and I thank you for taking the time. I ask that may God bless you, and pray for me, and we'll continue praying for you. I thank you for your time.